before we get to verse 14 through 21, let's do a brief review of what we've come through so far. When we become Christians, we have that desire to stop sinning. And we also have that desire to please our Heavenly Father. That's a given, correct?
Correct.
So when we get into Romans teaches us how to practice righteousness. Okay? From Romans 12 to the end of Romans, it's all about righteousness and how to apply it to our lives. But we see in verse 1 that Paul writes and he urges us to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. In verse 2, he tells us also not to be conformed to this world anymore, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we can prove what the will of God is for our lives. We'll never learn that. We'll never understand what God's will is for our lives until our mind is renewed. And then we find out that Paul, after that, in verse 3, he gives us a warning. He tells us not to think too highly of ourselves. So God knows us. He knows when we find out certain things for our lives, boom, our head's going to swell up. So we're going to start thinking highly of ourselves. And then what happens after that is that the Lord gives us a measure of faith, so we can come into the ministry that He wants us to be part of the body that He has put together. And there's seven ministries in this that are listed in here that we are to take part in. In verse 6, we see that since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. And then it gets into the gift area, where we are to apply ourselves. And then we get down to verse 9, which is where we left off a couple of weeks ago. We learned that love is controlled by God. It's given by God. And that's found in Romans 5:5. And then we did a self-examination as we went through these. We found out that love is genuine, it's pure. It's not it clings to good, and we found out that God is good, so we cling to Him. We're devoted to one another. We give preference to one another. In other words, you're better than I am. In other words, it's how this is applied. And we found out that we don't lag behind. We stay fervent, stay boiling over in love. We never lag behind in it. And by doing that, we find out new things and find out how we can bless one another. That's how we stay that way. And then we find out that in verse 12, that love rejoices in hope, it perseveres in tribulation, and is devoted to prayer. If you notice, there was two places that devoted was mentioned here. In verse 10, be devoted to one another, and be devoted in prayer. And in the last part of that, in 13, we learned that love contributes to the needs of the saints. And also it practices hospitality. And that's what's going to bring us into this next portion here in 14 through 21. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word that we have received, Father. We understand that You desire to be close to us, Father, and we desire to be close to You. Father, thank You for opening our eyes and our hearts in this area of love, true love, Father, for it is by You and through You that we do love and know how to love. So, Father, I thank You and I give You the praise and glory, Father, for what we're about to receive now. Your words will ring true to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So in verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Notice the word bless is used twice there. See, everybody's thinking. So to bless somebody that persecutes us, how would you go about that? Let me back up here a little bit. I want you to think along the lines of outreach as we go through these, okay? This is actually an opportunity to reach out to somebody who persecutes you. I know that we probably don't have any persecutions that are coming against us as Paul did. Well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at this. Look what Paul went through. Verses 11 through 13. Would someone read that, please? Paul went through more than we'll probably ever go through in our lifetime, but we do get persecuted. We have brothers and sisters that talk behind our back. We know that the book of Jude warns us about that. Things are going to happen in our life where we're just going to be downtrodden about it. It's going to overtake us. And it does happen to us. But the Lord says to bless those who persecute you. And he mentions it again. He says, bless and do not curse. So he knows my heart. He says, if I don't bless somebody, what's going to happen? I'm going to do just the opposite. I'm going to call the stones from heaven on that person. I mean, they're going to come down and bust him right in the head or her or whatever, you know, whatever persecution it is. So the Lord knows me. He knows how I'm going to handle this. Turn with me to Matthew 44 through 48. So we should be drawn who has persecuted us, and we should use it as an opportunity for outreach. Matthew 5, 44 through 48. We read this. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And here's the benefit from doing this, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. So you can see that our Heavenly Father's love, that's for sure. So he's saying that if we do this, we're sons. We're sons of God. True sons. True daughters. So bless those who persecute you. And look at verse 15. We find out that love is compassionate. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Can anybody give me something that just recently happened that caused your heart to break? Something that just happened that's sweeping across this United States right now. Remember what happened in South Carolina? Yeah. Didn't that break your heart? Man, that really hurt to see that. There's an outreach going there. I believe there's going to be a revival that's going to come out of that. It's already starting. You can see that the church, that people are coming who have never gone before, are just coming to be there, to hear the Bible studies and stuff like that, who've never gone to church before. It's being plastered all over the news right now. We'll probably hear for not too long that we'll hear that that there will be many of them giving their lives to Christ through this. So I believe there's going to be a great time, awakening out of this. But remember, we want to think about outreach as we read these. So the blessing is the thing to do. So it's telling us to be compassionate, rejoice, and react. And we see the benefits. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, the second part of that, 24 through 1 Corinthians 12, 2. Second part of 2, 24 through 26. God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. So when we rejoice with each other, and it makes no difference if somebody's, you know, it makes no difference in where we are in growth, okay, in our spirituality. Some are going to be more mature than the newer ones. So it's God who has composed the body and put it together. Be compassionate with one another. React, rejoice with one another. And also, remember this parable in Luke 15 about the sheep? Turn over there, Luke 15, 4 through 7. Remember, think outreach. Here's an opportunity each and every time to reach out. I'm sorry, through seven. So do you see the outreach that's going on here? When we can rejoice with one another, and when we can cry and be hurt with one another, it's an opportunity for that to outreach you. It makes no difference which way, either rejoicing or weeping. You can still outreach, still reach out to people. And it's the same thing in the world too. Just like what happened in the Carolinas. There's a great outreach going on right over there right now. So even through all that trouble. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. This is pretty powerful verse. Love is considerate and is fully accepting of one another. We're not proud. We do associate with one another. You know, even if it's right here or even out away from the church, we still associate with one another. But what about the world? What about friends that we have who do not know God? Do we associate with them? To a point, right? To a point we do. They know us. They've seen our good works. They know who we are. But there's always something that we get into when we associate with people out in the world. We try to fix them. And we try to fix one another when we're going through troubled times and stuff like that. We need to just leave that to God and just keep loving one another. Just leave it to Him. Just leave it all to Him and let Him fix the wrongs in our lives. So just leave it to God. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:11. You guys remember this one. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So we see that when we're like-minded, we're not thinking that we're better than anybody else or anything like that. You know, if you notice that, Lord kind of repeated that twice in that verse. He says, don't be haughty in mind and don't be wise in your own estimation. So we just want to be like-minded. That way we don't have no division among us. You know, right now we're in the process of building a building. There's conflicts, as we well know. And we all seem to have a better way than just to let the guys that are doing it, the members that are doing that, just let them do it. Not get too involved in it. It's all right to make suggestions and stuff like that. But there again, it can be used as outreach. If you hear a brother or a sister saying something negative about it, there's an opportunity to remind them of the love that's within them for each other. Also, Philippians 2:2-4. Says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. So there we have it. Just what the Lord was teaching us here in this verse. So be of the same mind, and don't lift yourself up higher. Let somebody else do that. Let somebody else do it. And use it as an opportunity for outreach. In verses 17 through 21, this is all really combined together. Okay, as we read these, we're not going to go through these verse by verse because it's all one subject matter. Okay? And we'll get to that as we see this. In verse 17, it says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as that it depends on you, be at peace with how many men? All men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I see four things here that are very, very important in our love relationship with one another and with the world also. There is, because we know that our Heavenly Father loved the world. That's why He gave His Son for it. First of all, I see love never repays with evil. You find that in verse 17. In 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24, you turn over there. So here we have an example. We never repay, even though, you know, Jesus, being who He was, could have taken the whole world out right then. Started right over, all fresh. We all know that. But He didn't. It's because of the love of our Heavenly Father for us. And that same love we should be practicing and living, not only for one another, but also for the world. While you're there in 2 Peter, go ahead and look at 3, 8 through 12. Someone go ahead and read that one too? No, 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Did I say 2nd? It's the other Peter. It's Peter 1. That's why I was saying when we're reading this and going through this, to think of outreach. How to outreach to that person who's persecuted. How to do this for someone who's... It is. Sure. This is a pride breaker. Love is a pride breaker. It really is. True love. Like I said, you know, and the world is watching. That's for sure. Definitely watching everything that we do. And right now, I believe they're wondering where we're at. They're going, where are the Christians now when we need them? Look what's going on in our world. Where are they? There used to be a time in our country, and you all know this, that the church had prominence. Yeah, the church had prominence in the United States. I believe they are. I believe there's something in that heart of every non-believer that's looking. Before you became a Christian and invited God into your heart, what were you looking for? Do you remember that? I was looking for what we're talking about right now. This righteousness of love. I was looking for that. And that was the empty part that was in my heart when the Lord filled it. I didn't realize it until I heard it. Until I actually heard the gospel. It was the gospel that changed my heart. The true gospel. But we still have opportunity. Those who truly believe still have that opportunity to reach out and take those away from that. We still have it. So I see that love desires peace. And we know we are to be peaceful. It never pays back evil for evil. Verse 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Well, guess what? It depends on you. Peace depends on you. You have total control of whether you have peace or not. And he says, be at peace with all men. In Romans 14, 16 through 19, we read this. Therefore, do not what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what he's telling us there, that peace is much more important than what we do for our body. Much more important. That's why we can be slandered. That's why we can be literally shot at. That's why we can go through things that happen to us that should not have happened to us. We can go through those things because God says that peace is more important. Look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So he's leaving this up to us. You know, Paul writes there, he says, therefore I, we can put our I right there. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord. can do this, what he just mentioned, to stay in peace, to keep be peaceful at all times with all men. And next I see love refuses to seek revenge. See, that's where we are. I remember we were talking about forgiveness a while ago. At the church I went to in Tucson years ago, there was a young lady who was divorced. And we got on this subject. She said, I can forgive my husband, my ex-husband, but I don't have to associate with him. Now, is that true or not? Well, yeah, she doesn't have to. But what does the Lord say? Yeah, see, we like to leave that handle sticking out, you know, when we want to take our own revenge. I corrected her. I said, yes, you do. If you're a daughter of God, and there's an opportunity for you to reach out to that person, to bless them, then yeah, you do have to associate with him. I asked her, is he a Christian too? And she said, he goes to church, you know, in a sarcastic way. So she does have to associate with him. And we do too. We do have to associate with those that we forgive. Remember what the Lord taught us? He says, if you have something again, if you're going to tithe, or if you're going to give something to the church, and he says, if you have something against your brother, what does he say? Don't wait for your brother to come to you. He says, what? You go and make peace with him. But opportunity does arise in those areas. So love refuses to seek its own revenge. In Deuteronomy 32, 35, and 36, if somebody would turn there and read that, please. And then someone go to 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Deuteronomy 32, 35, and 36. So what's he telling us there? If we refuse to take our own revenge, what's God telling us right there? Is it? It'll happen. Yeah. They'll fall in their own traps. We'll have to deal with it. We'll have to mess with it so we can remain at peace. Okay, go ahead and read 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Yeah. Notice he puts you first. Okay, what's good for you, okay, it's good for us to be at peace. I heard it taught a long time ago that on this very scripture, in this part of Thessalonians, that it actually deals with your health. If you're actually in turmoil and upset over what somebody has said or somebody has done, it's actually going to hurt you physically in the long run than it is just to forgive and to pray and give a blessing to that person. So much easier to do that. But we got to, for some reason, we go through that. Why do we put ourselves through that when we know a better way? Yeah, you can, exactly right. You can think clearly about it. So clearly about it, you see the whole situation in as it happened, not as you conjured it up. You know, we all do. We all still struggle with that. We see also that love reacts with good. In Galatians 6:10, somebody go ahead and read that. So we always react that way. You know, we don't need to get off by ourselves and think we're going to shoot somebody or this or that. Or, you know, you know the consequences of that, that's for sure. So, you know, always react with good. That's what peace does. It always reacts that way. Okay, remember, and when we react with good, we're actually standing right with our Lord, who is standing right there when we react. So we're actually alongside Him when we react with good. He's not alongside us when we're reacting the other way. He's just stepping back and watching and see how far you're going to go with it, and how far it's going to eat you up, and when you're going to turn to Him. This is kind of a long one. Proverbs 3, 21 through 35. I agree with you. We should all be able to do that with one another because we love one another. I mean, we're family. Now, I've always said, if you ever see me out of line too, please correct me. Please, my wife corrects me all the time, but I need to hear from you guys too. You gotta be able to see my faults. Come on. I know it. She knows some that I don't. 21 through 35. Who's a good reader? 21 through 35. in Proverbs 3. So we need to hear that. That's very important. So always react with good. Always react with, be peaceful about it when you react. And that's what this is all, it's all about outreach to a lost world. Even to those brothers and sisters who have no control over their anger yet. Just reach out to them. It's an opportunity. It's always an opportunity. So that's what the Lord has for us tonight.